Well, thank you very much for agreeing to speak to us. This is an incredibly interesting time for open access. The group that I work for, the Australasian Open Access Strategy is just one of a number in Australia that's working for open access. And next week, the week of the 19th of October, is Open Access Week. And I think it's fair to say that it's never really been more important for open access to research during this pandemic. So, I mean, I'd love to just get your thoughts on scholarly communications, open access more generally, but I thought I might just kick off by sort of asking you how you've seen scholarly communications change over your career and what, you know, where you think this might be going.
Well, you know, research and scientific communication over my career, it's changed massively. I'm not really across communication and the arts to the same extent, so I'm not really commenting on that. But science communication, of course, the numbers of scientific journals before we started online communication massively increased. There were some companies particularly that seemed to be constantly starting new journals, and clearly a lot of the motivation there was profit, and not always needed, I think. And but it still was within the academy that generally to access a scientific journal, you had to be associated with a university, or you had to have some other way of accessing content. And so people tended to interact with science from the broader community via mechanisms like Scientific American or some other publications that would carry a reasonable amount of science. Now, I think to see all that opened up has been absolutely wonderful, and to have people able to access any content in the sciences is valid, because basically the public pay for this. And it's the public tax dollar on the whole that's funding scientific publication. It's usually through research grants and various other mechanisms. Now, that's great. I mean, there are various issues with it. Firstly, the cost of the publication is moved from the university or the library committee to the scientist, because we're paying up front for publication. So that again moves the cost onto the research grants generally. So that can be an issue. But most of us are happy with that, as long as there can be some mechanism there to pay those costs. And when you think of the cost of the science, even some of what looked like quite large costs for publication are generally fairly minimal, at least in the biological or biomedical sciences, where it's very expensive. So that's all good, and I favour it very much. Now, there are various issues with this, and one of them is that it's very easy to start a new journal, and that we have now a number of what I'd regard as bottom feeders who started journals simply as a commercial enterprise. And some of these journals are not only of very poor quality, they're absolutely disgraceful. And we're all aware of that. So we all have to raise, in the scientific community, that's not a problem, because we look at the citation index for a journal and we know who's publishing in it in our field. And there are many journals just we wouldn't even look at for obvious reasons. But for the broader community, that's not so obvious. And it provides fertile ground for people who, for instance, in the climate change denial game, can cherry pick some obscure publication from some unknown person and have no idea either how to assess the investigator, or are not willing to do so anyway, and certainly have no idea about what a scientific paper is, how it's written, and how you read it. Because a scientific paper, as apart from a review or an up-to-date information or news and views and so forth, is a very particular written form. And it's not necessarily the same form all across science. Different scientific disciplines write differently, and they arrange their authors differently and do things in various ways. So for uninformed people to come in and read a scientific paper, they can be seriously misled. For instance, as we all know, as we write a scientific paper, we don't just write that beautiful, elegant piece of prose we first submit. It ends up usually, especially if it goes to one of the top journals, after extensive peer review, and often totally unreadable because of all the crap that's been put in, and you need a News and Views to explain what's in the paper. So how does someone, we understand that if we've been through the process and been through the fire, but how does someone from outside understand that? How do they understand the difference between a speculation in a discussion section and an interpretation or analysis of data in the results section? And I think that needs to be out there much more strongly. I think we need Wikipedia entries on how to read a scientific paper. I think every online journal should have some explanatory thing about how you read a scientific paper. I actually wrote about it in this book that was published in 2015, which tries to tell people how to interface with science and science publication. So that's one thing I think we need, is some way of at least attempting to educate the people who are looking at scientific papers from outside the ivory tower or the canon or the research lab or whatever you care to call it, and for them to find meaning and to nuance that meaning in the way that we do automatically when we read a research paper. We all know when there's some ridiculous speculation in a discussion that some reviewer insisted on that going in. And we all know that if you want to get your paper published, you don't write back to the editors and say, this moron that suggested that I should do this and that. That's not how you get it. You write back to the editors and you say, we respectfully acknowledge the wonderful contribution of reviewer 3, and we have incorporated our discussion of his point in such and such a way. It may be something we would not normally discuss, and we don't say, this guy's barking mad, and which some of them are, of course, and not us, but others. And and then there is that, I think, there is a real issue with that that exploitative bottom end thing. This is not just an open access publication. It's the whole scientific meeting thing, where you can easily get sucked into these meetings that are there just to make money for people. And I had one experience of this and got out of it very quickly, but I know some of my colleagues who are eminent scientists, and because the meeting title looks very similar, or the name of the journal or the name of the society looks very similar to something you've long interacted with, you can get caught if you don't look at it closely. And that's a real issue. And I think many of us have become very aware of it. And I think also that across the publication landscape, we really need editors to get together and compare notes on some things. They don't do this, I think, because they're afraid of being sued. But I know of instances, for instance, one instance in Tennessee at Vanderbilt University, a very prominent group in sort of chemical biology. They received a paper to review from totally unknown authors. And as they looked at it, they said to themselves, my goodness, these people are spot on. This is a beautifully written paper, and I don't know these people. And then as they thought about it, they realized it was one of their papers they'd published 2 years ago. And wow. It had been simply lifted and sent in. And so they sent that back to the journal with a full commentary on what had happened and why this guy should be banned. And the next thing they got, 2 weeks later, they got the same paper for review from another journal. So I think there's a lot of the potential abuse and so forth going on, and we have to be extremely careful. And opening it up does lead to that. Now, the other thing that's happened with open access, of course, is it's been wonderful during this period of COVID and the lockdowns. Now, none of us spend time in the University of Library. We wonder why anybody is producing print journals and destroying all those trees. There's really no need for that, except as journals of record and having several copies somewhere, I suppose. But I'm not sure that's essential either, and probably it just reflects that I'm an old guy. I think being a member of a society which insists on sending you a print journal is a total disaster, and we don't need these things. We don't have shelf space, and why waste the trees, the postage, the airline jet fuel, and all the rest of it getting this stuff around the world? So we don't need that. But one of the things that COVID has shown us is that the culture can change and change very quickly. Because one of the great things that's happened with COVID is we've had fantastic international cooperation at the science level, despite some political intervention, which has maybe made the Chinese a bit less open than they might have been otherwise. But and that's been very negative, and I tried to diffuse some of that here, but it went ahead anyway. And basically, what's happened in the biomedical sciences is the publication of preprints. Now, that's been terrific, and people have taken preprints for what they are, not peer-reviewed, but they've looked at them, and it's got information out there very quickly. And this is a culture that's out there in the physics community, in some areas of the physics community, pre-circulating for commentary. And I think we could change some of our publishing model along those lines, for instance. I mean, there's no reason why, for instance, with the scope and space you can do with electronic publishing, you should not have, say, the reviewer's comments and rebuttals in the paper if a journal editor decides to do that. That was tried many years back with some of the print papers, but people didn't want to publish in it. That was very interesting. Charlie Janeway tried it. And so there are other innovations there, I think, that could be brought into the space. And also, I mean, do we really need to publish long scientific papers that are very detailed and very technical in the primary sort of write-up? Maybe we could make that all kind of in the supplementary data sort of thing and actually have a much more readable and accessible form of writing, because I think there's stilted prose and some of the style of the scientific paper, it could be historic. And it would be great, for example, and I try to encourage graduate students and postgrads with this, if a lot of our young scientists put a lot more emphasis on learning to write clear English. And interestingly, it's often not the native English speakers who are the best writers. It's often people who've started with a different language, have had to learn some grammar in order to access English, who write better. And learning grammar is obviously important. I think writing should definitely be part of the whole experience. So open access, great. Like all innovations, it takes time to bed down. It does have its problems, and we need maybe to have some more sort of benchmarks in there that people can access readily. Is this a reputable scientific journal? We need a group that's basically certifying, saying, yes, this is a reputable scientific journal, or is it something else? PubMed does that a bit in the science area, because it won't list papers from what it considers to be dubious publication, dubious formats. But I think maybe we need that across the board, some sort of body that looks at stuff, perhaps in the various disciplines, and says, yes, we think this journal's okay, or we think it's a grade A, B, or C journal. You know, we're all familiar with A, B, and C journals. You know, first choice, rejection, second choice, third choice. Some of my more reference paper have been in level C journals, actually, which is very interesting. And they're quite good papers, but they didn't appeal to the reviewers or to the whole fashion thing that dominates the big journal formats. So publication, always a complex area, always levels of contention, very good training as a human being. Since I've been writing books, the editors of books just can't believe how compliant I am. I'm so used to being beat up by anonymous reviewers that being beaten up by some nice lady editor doesn't faze me a bit. I just do what I'm told and get on with it.